Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It is June the 5th, 2025. I am Atrol Pearl, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. It is the night before Against All Odds, and because it starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow Eastern, I'm sorry, we won't be doing a post-show. But the card looks pretty good. Cresta, Star, and I are always here, as we are on Thursdays, to talk about the TV show, and we'll also cover the card, and we'll also talk a little bit about our expectations for Against All Odds, and we'll catch up a little bit. For now, Cresta's here, as she is. How you doing, Ms. Star?
Hello, I am here. How are you, Joel? How's everything going on in your wrestling life?
Oh, you know, wrestling's good. Had a really fun interview today with someone that you're going to get to know real soon. She's been in and out of the wrestling business for a little while, so that interview's coming, and you'll enjoy it when you see it. But it was a busy day today. You know what? And every day is busy here on Fightful, so go ahead, drop a thumbs up on this video if you haven't already, and subscribe to this channel. We've got a post show for everything. You think about it, we've got it. Just don't think about the upcoming show tomorrow night.
Yeah, not tomorrow.
We won't have that. But like, we'll give our thoughts, and so like technically we'll have something. It just won't be like a full-blown post show. But if you want a Worlds Collide post show, we got you covered. Money in the Banks this weekend, same thing. We're going to get you covered. Everything that's coming up. We got, if AEW does a four-hour card, guess what? We got a post show after that. We're always here. 7 days a week. Nonstop. The grind never ends. Unless there's a TNA show that starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, then we decide that we're just not going to do it. But, you know.
The grind ends there. The grind ends there, actually.
It really does. So, really what I'm trying to say is leave a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel, and you can donate a super chat in any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, because we're here as we are every single day for every single show except for the one that's happening tomorrow that starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're not doing a post show for that, but all the other ones we're here for. I promise we're here and we do it. So go ahead and do that, or you can donate a Humper Chat over at humperchats.com, and as always, Cresta will tell you how, when, and where, and why.
If you head on over to humperchats.com, you can put your dollar amount and your comment in the little boxes they're provided for you. There, myself and Joel Pearl will go ahead and read your comment. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. I'm happy. Joel's happy. The Decepticons are happy. And we shoot the toaster. Humperchats.com.
The toaster?
It's a joke about a guy telling a joke. He's like, I laugh. My wife laughs. The toaster laugh. I shot the toaster.
I have heard that joke. Okay. I did have to go back. Oh, talking toaster. That's funny. Oh, I was expecting like the Aristocrats, but it's not important. It's a different joke for another time. Impact tonight. It's the go home to Against All Odds. Once again, this was show number 2 on the taping in Brampton that I attended. So I saw all this. Now I got to see it again. We're going to talk about that. What did you think overall as they build to Against All Odds tomorrow night and just the matches that they had? How was Impact for you?
There wasn't really too many low points, but there were points of meh and okay. In particular, I did like the Santino promo against Robert Stone. I think that impassion from him is what makes him very endearing. And I'm trying to think of something else. So if it doesn't come to the top of my head, what was your favorite part about the show, Joel Pearl?
You know what? I think tonight, the post-production crew, the people who were putting together the vignettes, putting together the hype packages, they were on their A-game. I thought the stuff from Layton Lee was really solid, and for Masha Slamovich as well, hyping up their match tomorrow night. And also, I thought the Elijah package was really, really well done. He didn't do too much singing as much as he did kind of be a bard. He played a few chords and then he kind of did his little thing. No, it's true though. Like he didn't do a shticky version of himself. He just kind of spoke through his rhyme and it wasn't bad. I liked it.
I don't think it was bad, but we have different takes. Cause you know, I laugh at everything, but I was like, damn, Elijah, you over here doing spoken word. I was ready to snap, 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 snap.
It was perfect. Come on. He rapped better than Trick Rap.
All right. The bar is in hell. That's what I'm going to say. The bar is in hell.
I mean, listen, full full marks to Trick when he actually records these whatever you want to call them, rap, or whatever he calls it. I don't know. When he does it, it's really good when it's recorded. When he then has to go out and perform it in front of a crowd to a tape recording, it's a little more difficult. But this, I thought this was good stuff. I thought all the video packages that were hyping up tomorrow night, I thought they were really well done, really well produced. I thought they looked good. They were aesthetically pleasing. So that was good. And the matches, again, the matches were good. They told stories. The main event was not really my favorite, but it was very much a TNA main event. It was all right.
I agree with you on the video packages. I will say, since even before Mike Santana, I want to say since Ali got there the first time, their video package have been consistently, even Frankie Kazarian's, I'm thinking as far back as that, have been really, really well done. And I think I'd put them number one, except when WWE really cares, their video packages are beautiful, you know? But TNA, I would talk about consistently, I think their video packages, you care about everybody they're talking about.
Yeah, they've got a good team there that does work hard. And I've mentioned it before, you know, for a while when they were working on shoestring budgets and just kind of doing the best they could with what they had, they were producing some really good stuff. But this was a bit more than usual, which I really appreciated. So it's worth shouting out the production crew on this one. They did a really great job. They deserve a pat on the back for that.
Give them a plate of French fries.
Get them a fruit basket, maybe a cheese board.
We don't accept.
We don't, but TNA, they've got a relationship. It's fine. We can do it.
Whew, if you know, guys, that fried the hell out of me.
What's Phoenix? What's their thing? What's Phoenix known for food wise?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know where that place. I know where that place is. I've never been there. I don't know anything about that.
Let's take a look. Let's see. Phoenix is known for its diverse culinary scene with a strong focus on, well, no surprise here, Mexican and Southwestern cuisine. There's the Sonoran hot dog, chimichangas, cheese crisps, and various tacos. So there you go. Give them.
The way I was going to say, isn't Arizona known for glizzies? And the first thing you say is hot dogs.
Sonoran hot dog. I've had the Sonoran hot dog, haven't I? It's a hot dog that originated in Hermosillo, which is the capital of Sonora, and in the late 1980s, it was popular in Tucson. Interesting. But what is it? And it looks like a cheese dog, man. It just does. Either way, that's what they can get paid in.
That's a roundabout way to say hot dogs in a hand. I can't believe I fell for that.
This is what we do.
Loser. Just me, Oos.
That's fine. Impact opens up. Indy Hartwell takes on Tasha Steelz with great hands. This was, so I had retweeted that this was a match to have eyes on. And I had some people be like, is this a return? Is this a thing? I'm like, no, it's just there's development here. The match was good. Indy defeats Tasha. They teased Dissension in Order 4, and they did it by having Skylar kind of get on Jason Hotch to hit Indy Hartwell while she was down in the corner, but Hotch refused. And then Indy recovers, she hits a big boot and hurts Donut, gets the win. And then the post-match is really where it matters. Mustafa Ali comes out, he comes to the ring, and he berates Tasha until Jason Hotch steps to him and effectively says, like, you don't talk to people like this. You don't talk to women like this. Step down, like, back off. Hotch is getting a spine and leveling up, and I think that's amazing. There was at one point, someone had asked Gail Kim, who on the TNA roster deserves another chance or a chance to step up, and she said Jason Hotch. And I said, yes, absolutely that guy. And every time I've seen him on the indies and every time I've interacted with him, he's always been not just a stand-up dude, but also a hard worker who really gives a shit. He's got the look. He's got the experience. He's been with this company for years. I really like that they're having Hotch step up. Ali walks away. Skylar and Steelz follow him, and Hotch is in the ring all alone. Later on socials, he said, my wife and my kid were in the stands for this. I needed to step up for them. And then later on, they make the match. It's going to be Hotch versus Ali tomorrow night. And Ali's saying, you know, these actions have consequences. I accept your apology. And Hotch has never apologized. Just kind of assumed. And I thought that was really solid. What did you think of all this stuff?
The match between Indy and Tasha, I thought was okay. I think this was really about the post-match angle, and I don't blame Indy for skedaddling as soon as it was over. That being said, boy, do I hate Ali. Positively. I mean that as a compliment. Man, that man is getting under my skin in a good way, because I think it's one thing to dabble in sensitive topics when you're a heel. And Ali, we trust, is dastardly, but it's that fine line of dastardly. But Tasha Steelz is literally following orders, and you're literally beating her up, and I don't like that. I don't think anyone likes that. I don't think anybody likes that. And the fact that Hotch is now standing up is fantastic. Grow a spine, you know. Also, imagine Mike Santana saying that once you lose me, what are you going to do? Because you're addicted to me. I'm not addicted to you. I'm addicted to wrestling. So if you want to talk about addiction, pal, what are you going to do? And look at you spiraling, out of control, looking for your vape pen. It's flushed down the toilet. You just took a shit. That's what you get. That's what you get. Also, who was Skylar on the phone with?
That is a question I had for you. Who did you think it was? Because at first, I thought it was Hotch. And I thought it was Hotch just being like, hey, man, can you smooth things over and I'll be right back. But then he stepped into frame and suddenly it didn't feel like it was Jason Hotch on the phone anymore.
I don't know who is like big brother or somebody that Ali sees as an equal. I can't think of a singular person in TNA. My joke answer is you call it the Good Brothers because maybe they can chill him out. But the Good Brothers, they make money and they're going to go into work for themselves. So I wouldn't do that. But that was the only names I could pick out of my. But even then, it wouldn't be, if it was Raj Singh, it wouldn't be, oh my God, what was the other gentleman's name?
Raj Singh is hilarious. I thought about it being Raj.
Again? We saw what happened the first time.
Well, because they teased another eight man with a partner. They're doing the Hardys and Leon Slater with the mystery partner, and someone said Raj Singh got another booking, and I was like, I will cut you.
Can you imagine he comes out?
Oh, he's not in Tempe, so it's okay. Whoever that
I don't
is.
Know who it could be. I'm at a loss here.
I mean, so I don't know who's on the phone. I don't know. And I see in the chat, AO saying, you know, maybe Cedric Alexander, if he wants to work a short-term deal with TNA, sure, that's a great get for them. And it's someone that Ali has a background with. There is a history there.
It's someone they all know.
Yeah. Or it could literally just be, it was Hotch and it was just poor acting.
That's very TNA. No, that's a very plausible answer with TNA. I would like to believe that there's layers like an onion here. You know, like if I'm reading too deep into this, Hotch stepping in and be like, bro, even during the match, he's like, I'm not going to hit this girl while she's down. It's not like she really went in, like, relax. Like, I think there is something to be said about it can be scary to stand up to a bunch of people who are willing to do the wrong thing and being the first guy to be like, I don't like this. Even when the person you're standing up for is like, oh no, I'm stupid. I like this. Oh my God. So I get it. I get it.
And again, this was something that Ali did in his first run, which was, we talked about this quite a lot. He was taking a mirror of modern day society as his character and kind of flipping it on its head and making you look at it. He's doing it again. He's absolutely doing it again. If you try to look at this in what's going on in the U.S., for better or worse, there the way that he is portraying himself, the way that his cabinet is following him, the way
infighting,
the infighting, the following of each other, there the blind faith, there is absolutely something that, again, you can see it. And Ali is the type of person who will absolutely take modern day politics and use it as a way to kind of tell a story without directly telling you this is who I'm trying to be.
No, absolutely. And I am someone who enjoys wrestling and I try to learn from each person. And don't kill me, y'all, but Vince Russo was taking storylines from Jerry Springer, and that was your Attitude Era. And we all love the Attitude Era. So to me, it's free. It's free. What do you mean? As an American, I laugh sometimes when I see politics. It's not funny, but if I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. So I would at least like to see it in a way that's enjoyable to me. So this is fantastic. The only way this could be more dastardly, more worser, I don't know if I mean this good or bad, but I would laugh. Get Bully Ray in here. Let's be real scumbags.
Oh, why are you trying to make this? What are you trying to do? No, stop it. Go to hell. Ali and Hotch, I don't think the outcome is in doubt. I think that the onus is on Jason Hotch to deliver a great match with Ali. And, you know, Ali's a great partner to have in the ring, to whether you're on the same side as him or if you're against him. I think that there's an opportunity here for Jason Hotch to knock it out of the park with Ali. If Ali's plan is to elevate other members of the roster with his position and with his work, then I think Jason Hotch is the right guy to do that with. And there is an opportunity here. If it's Ali beating the crap out of Hotch, hey, if he sells the beatdown and maybe gets a little hope in there, then I think that people will respect Hotch a little bit more. And that's kind of what you're trying to do, because up until this moment, Jason Hotch hasn't been seen he hasn't been seen much more than just an enhancement comedy guy. Now's the chance to turn him into something different.
This is the most serious he's been. And I think there are a few people who are just wrestlers who see wrestling in a different light. And Ali is one of them. Ali, Speedball. I'll even go ahead and say AJ Styles. Like, these guys are going to give you a good match. Even if you can't wrestle like Kenny Omega and you wrestle that doll, you're going to get a good match out of these guys. So I'm excited for Hotch. I'm excited for Ali, because I feel like this still somehow comes back to Santana. I think this is just me putting on my little, where's my tinfoil crown, which I threw away 20 years ago. Like, you lose everything. And then Ali hits rock bottom and comes to you, Santana, and says, because of you, I lost Order 4. Because of you, I'm out of the title scene. Because of you, these people don't trust me. Doesn't matter that you were over here yelling at Tasha Steelz, beating up people, yelling at Jason Hotch, because he's going to turn on you, Skyler. You next. So, I mean, they didn't learn from last time, so who am I?
Yeah, they're not going to learn. That's fine. Let's move on. X Division titles on the line. Moose defends against Eric Young. JDC's with Moose. Northern Armory are with Eric Young. This is a good one. This is a solid match between these two. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was perfect, but there were certain moments that got the crowd going. The fact that Eric Young was able to get through the Canadian national anthem in its entirety was so absurd live, because I'm watching the referee, it's Frank Gastineau, kind of going between looking at JDC and then looking at Northern Armory. And Northern Armory aren't doing much at ringside. So Gastineau is like trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, and Armory is just like, They're not even trying to do anything.
Look menacing.
It makes EY look like an idiot. Or makes the referee look like an idiot. It makes EY look like he's doing his Go Canada thing. It was fine. It was cute. Moose doing the top rope sky high. They call it the Go to Hell. I thought that was fantastic. And then they do the pile driver. JDC puts Moose's foot on the ropes. Northern Armory take out JDC. Moose low blows EY, gets the spear and the win. Moose is still the X Division champion. The post match is where this was hilarious to watch live. Funnier than the Canadian national anthem. They turned Northern Armory for 2 weeks. Brought them out under siege, made them into baby faces because they're Canadian. I think you could have kept them as heels and people would have still booed the hell out of them. But instead, they spent 2 weeks making them good guys, and then they beat up a random fan at ringside. Don't know who that was. I kept going back to see if it was someone I recognized. I couldn't place it. Don't know who it was. Someone who planted in the side of the ring. It was fine. But watching it live was just hilarious. Cause like, they just take a fan? All right. Well, that was fast. What do you think of EY and Moose?
You know, this is one of the times where I was just sports. You know, I did like Moose's leggings. They were really yellow. Also, I'm sorry. What are they supposed to be? Tights?
They're tights.
The same thing. Tights have feet. So those were leggings.
All right, that's fair. You are factual in that statement.
Take that, wrestling world. But I did think it was sports entertainment while Eric Young had this man's foot on this man's yam bags and saying, "Oh Canada." I didn't know "Oh Canada" had a second verse. So
no, it's a full ass song. We it's a 90-second banger.
Fantastic. That was fantastic. Also, what did that fan even do allegedly to Eric Young? I'm like, clearly that's a plant, or else Tom Hannifin is right. That's thousands of dollars in a lawsuit. But what, this fan didn't even do anything. Everyone was like booing. Eric Young just attacked this man. And I know what happened. He's a ghost. And the ghost got angry, turned himself into a vengeful spirit. Somebody touched one of his horcruxes. He's now going to haunt TNA.
That is accurate. Yes, it is. When it happened live, I wasn't sitting close enough to know who that fan was. I was like, and then I went back tonight and I looked at the footage and I was like, who is that older gentleman? Is it Darren McCarty coming back to TNA? No, because then they would have made a big deal out of it. It was just some older gentleman who was part of the ring crew or part of the tryouts. I don't know. He was there. I'm sure I can ask and find out. But in the moment I was like, the hell is that guy?
Hey, I got paid $50 to be here.
Put him in ringside, tell him to get beat up. It's all right. It's fine. But yeah, Northern Armory are heels again. I thought that was just very funny that they just went right back to like, oh, we're going back to States. We'll go back to how things were going. None of this bizarro world Canadian crap. Danny Luna says Spitfire is done, but she isn't. She's going to become a knockout that people remember. I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Luna turns heel very soon. She made it kind of sound like she's going to, you know, hurt is going to be fuel. She says that she's going to be someone that people remember. And I'm like, how do you become more memorable? You do something people don't expect. And that's something that I don't think many people would expect. And a Danny Luna heel run wouldn't be too bad in a knockouts division that has a bit of a lacking of like credible heels right now.
I will take Danny Luna being a heel, because I'm trying to think, who would you heel it up on? Personally biased, beat up the Elegance Girls.
But no, also, babyface move. It is. The Elegance is just split up Spitfire.
That's true. That's true. But I'm like, you could be a real time heel and attack Masha Slamovich, and I don't like that. But also, a match between these ladies, yeah. I don't want them to beef, because I feel like whenever there's a beef with Masha, there's always going to be a sneaky Tessa Blanchard. Get away from the title scene. But at the same time, women's wrongs. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Looking forward to whatever Danny does next. Glad to see that they put a spotlight on her. Joe Hendry has his little sit down, I'm a big loser salvo.
All right.
Listen, we'll talk about Tuesday. That was a great moment. He suffered a defeat to someone who doesn't work for TNA. Calls himself a team captain who let everyone down. Says he supports Elijah at Against All Odds. And I'm like, oh, he supports, does he? Are we looking at heel Hendry? Are we looking at a potential heel turn for Joe Hendry instead of Elijah? Maybe not. Maybe Hendry makes a mistake trying to help Elijah. And that costs him the match tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll see.
I think AJ Francis interferes again. Because first of all, I don't like the Joe Hendry slander from you and other people, okay? It happens. Also, Joe Hendry literally, that was the same promo Rich Swann cut. I'm so sorry when he lost to Kenny Omega. I am so sorry. That's the same damn promo. That is the same.
You're right. That's amazing. You're absolutely correct.
I've been watching enough wrestling to know a stuff. Like, this is the same damn promo. But I digress, okay? I don't like what they're doing to my boy Joe Hendry, but you know, if it's character development, it's character development. But I think I said this 2 weeks ago and I'll say it again. It looks like he's destined to fight Frankie Kazarian until the end of time. Because who walks in there? One Franklin Kazarian.
We told you last week that this match was happening. Frankie Kazarian interrupts, says Hendry could go home as a kid and watch TNA, and he would watch Frankie Kazarian because Frankie's been there since the beginning. He says, I'm a better wrestler, a better champion, and I'm a better man than you. I'll embarrass you against all odds. And I'm like, yeah, that very well could happen.
Honestly, the line when he said, because Joe Hendry had just said, I would rush home to watch TNA, and Kazarian was like, yeah, and who would you be watching? Me. Yeah. I'm like, damn, that's cold, but he's not wrong. Frankie Kazarian has literally been in TNA since the six-sided ring, pal. Since What's his name? Not Christopher Daniels. Yeah, since Christopher Daniels had him.
I mean, come on. Daniels hasn't had hair in a very long time. What are we doing?
Okay, but that's how long Frankie Kazarian has been there. Stop it.
Stop it.
You stop, you stop it.
Stop it. Also, that company didn't have a six-sided ring to start.
In the beginning, there was a six-sided ring in Dixie there. Carter.
They got there, but they didn't start there. Okay, give them a break, okay?
You give Joe Hendry a break.
I just love that Kazarian was the loudest asshole of all, so he gets the match against Joe Hendry when literally everyone else who was on the baddie side of the TNA locker room was like, yeah, you suck, Hendry. You screwed everything. You made this worse. And Hendry's like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Just give me Kazarian. He's a piece of shit. And that's how we got to Kazarian and Hendry.
No, for real. Honestly, if I'm already salty that I lost to somebody who doesn't go here, the guy who was annoying me the entire time that I was champion, and now who's annoying me still, I'm getting my pound of flesh.
I hope Kazarian wins. Heather and never Heather and M by Elegance defeat Harley Hudson and Myla Grace. I think from now on, I'm going to call M by Elegance Meligance.
Stop. I mean, it's better than what I got for. I can put European Spitfire.
That's awful. I mean, listen, on a week where Mariah May made her NXT debut on Tuesday, and there was already talk about, you know, a name change coming. Did I tell you what I think her name should be?
I was in the weeds for a little bit, and we were like Jane June, April May June.
April May June. Because if you're going to get petty like WWE, April, May, June is perfect, because those were the months she was inactive in AEW before she went over to WWE.
Ricky Saints, bless up.
And by Elegance, by the way, Meligance is massive compared to these three other women.
Bro, she came down. I was like, is this Megan's Bae's little big sister? Because she's, I respect this, but she's a large. Yes, God.
I mean, we saw her live, and my friend just looked over to me and was like, she is huge. Maggie is huge compared to these women. And I'm like, I never thought about how short Heather Reckless was. Because the other thing is, Ash is, she's not tall, but she's not super short either. Like, she's pretty average height. So I never thought about that until I saw the height difference between Heather Reckless and Maggie Lee, who, by the way, Raywald telling Hannafin not to dead name M by Elegance was ridiculous.
The way I guffawed out loud, and I'm watching in Discord, and my friend was like, during Pride Month, I was like, stop!
Thought about that too. But it was so just a stark moment where we just looked at each other like, holy crap, she's huge compared to these women. And like, I knew Harley and Myla weren't the biggest, like, weren't the tallest women, but then you see Maggie and you're just like, she's probably 5'5", but these other women are like 4'11", and what it looks like, it looks tiny.
No, you're not wrong, because Heather Reckless is a shorter person, and I want to say, if I had to guess, Ash by Elegance 5'7", because Rhea Ripley's 5'8", and that blows my mind.
Yeah, the tallest 6'5" woman you'll ever meet.
Yeah. And so that means Heather Reckless, what, 5'5", 5'4"?
No, God, she's 5'1". She's very short.
So then how tall is Maggie Lee? Because she lets you go pick up and throw all of the girls in the ring. All of the girls in the ring.
I just looked up her height. Wikipedia has her listed as 145 centimeters, which equates to 4.75 feet. I'm like, I don't think she's 4.7 feet.
I'm about to say, what's that in American? I don't know. What's a kilo? What is a kilo?
No, ain't no way. 4'9" is what Cage Match has her listed as. She is tiny. She is tiny. I don't know if 4'9", if that's a shoot height, I will laugh so hard.
You mean Heather Reckless or
Heather?
Oh, you were saying Maggie. I was like, wait a minute. No,
Maggie.
Way.
Maggie's closer to 5'5", 5'6".
Oh yeah, 5'5".
Yeah, she's not that tall. She's just in a land of giants compared to these other three women. Like, Harley is tiny. Myla is tiny. Myla. Mila, whatever they're calling her, is also tiny. And I just didn't realize that Heather was also as tiny as she is.
How tall is Alicia Edwards then? Because she's...
Alicia's maybe 5'1".
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Yo, it's crazy because these women are mad small and be killing each other every Thursday.
Oh, yeah. No, when you go to an actual wrestling event, you realize how short these people can be. Yeah, Lisha's listed at 5 feet. Listen. Maggie's listed at 5'11". I don't believe that. I mean, I don't believe it.
Listen, every time they say Rhea Ripley is 5'8", I'm like, ain't no way, because I'm 5'7". But also, I've been to a wrestling class or two. A lot of those girls in there are short. Like, just that's just what it is. A lot of girls are just short.
You know what? Maybe Maggie is 5'11", given the fact that she also, I think, played volleyball.
Well, she's probably definitely. But 5'11" to a girl who's 5'5", or 5 feet?
Yeah, she played basketball. That much I know. Maggie was listed at 5. No, she's 5'8". No, I have her basketball, like her real height is 5'8".
Okay. not work great. Height.
Screw you. I've got her work height, and then we got her shoot height. Her shoot height is 5'8". Screw you.
Yo, my work height is 6'8", bro. What a...
it's Rhea Ripley 6 feet. So I'm 5'8", bro. Stop it.
Says 5'8". That's still really me, damn it.
But yes, but legit, when you see a lot of these people live, you don't really understand how short some of them are because TV makes them look larger than life. Here's a good example, by the way. When I saw Matt Cardona and I saw Brian Myers live, this was when Impact was like still in Toronto most of the time. When I saw them, they were massive compared to literally everyone else on the roster because they were WWE guys. That's the one thing. Billy Gunn's another good example of this.
Yeah.
Billy was always 6'6 and big, but he was in the land of the Giants in WWF in 99. So he didn't ever look quite as big as he really was. So you see a lot of these people live and you see them with like regular sized people. You realize just how massive at the time WWE was in terms of like the people were massive and now they come down to a place or they come to a place like TNA and suddenly they're around normal sized people and you're like, holy shit, you guys are huge. And that's just what you do when you see them live. You're like, whoa, they really are big.
No, you're not lying. I think of in particular that one time I went to WrestleCon when it was here in New York City and I met Desmond Xavier, who's now I think Wesley in NXT.
Yeah, that's Des. Yeah.
He is a short man, but I wasn't expecting that from the few things I've seen online. To me, the shortest person out of that group is Trey Miguel. He's probably 9'9". I don't know.
Trey's about my height and is about 6 feet. Trey's tall and lanky. He's not lanky, but like Trey's taller and just he's not wide. He's not like Ace Austin is wide. You know,
well, I'm not even thinking about like compared to Wentz, because Wentz looks way taller than Trey. So if Trey is tall, how tall is Wentz?
Hey, not too much taller. I'm thinking about my last interaction with them, and Wentz was tall, but Trey was about my height, maybe a little, about my height.
At the end of the day, Rich, I'm small. That's what I'm realizing.
Rich Swann is not that tall either. Like I'm tall. That's the weirdest thing when I go to junkets and I go to interview wrestlers in person. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I feel weird because I am taller than them, and I'm not like I'm 6 feet. Like I'm not gargantuan. I'm not huge. Like I'm just bigger than a lot of these guys. Like, there's an interview of me with Speedball that we've done, a couple of them, and I'm taller than Speedball. And I'm just like, well, that was unexpected, but here we are.
Speedball.
I think Janella and I are about the same height. Anyway, you can go back in the archives. You can find my old interviews. And like, there's a reason why I like to sit down with these people.
I respect it. No, because I thought Sean Ross Sapp was shorter, but that's a tall man too.
Yeah, Sean is tall. Sean's taller than me by a couple of inches. Like, he's, yeah, people are like, oh, he tower, you know, he towers over everyone. I'm like, he's pretty tall. He's taller than most people in wrestling media. I'll tell you that much. It's always very funny going to shows and being like,
that's why they hate on him. Yeah.
Anyway, we didn't get to the end of this match. They did a great, it was a great showcase for Hudson and Grace. Mm-hmm. Iceman distracts Daniel Spencer because of course he did. And Mulligan super kicks Mila Grace while Grace is on the top rope. Heather hits the Spanish fly and M gets the elegant moonsault for the win. Thought both teams looked solid in a match where they were both kind of debuting or having their coming out party. And this was the right story told. There's some comeuppance coming for the elegances.
I love, is it Nyla or Nyla Grace?
Yeah, that's the problem. I've now heard both.
Okay. So I'm going to say Nyla because I feel like they kept saying Mila, but I'm going to say Nyla. If it's wrong, please correct me, y'all. Nyla Grace and Harley Hudson, aesthetically speaking, I love their look. They're like opposite girls. But in the ring, Nyla's fast as she's given like Joshi speed. She was so fast. She was so fast. I do like how also Harley Hudson isn't as fast, but she gives more like, I'll punch you. And I live for that. I live for that. no flips, just fists.
Yeah. overall, I'm looking forward to these two teams tying up again. You know, it's inevitable. Speaking of inevitable, Monsters Ball, Zaya Brookside defeats Rosemary. This was a fun match live. What wasn't fun was watching Rosemary come out overreacting to the lights and the music and just looking like, oh, everything is, it's too much. Everything's, it was overacting. Let's come back a little bit. Let's bring it back. We're not a Universal. We're going to a wrestling show. Come on. And of course she pulls out she's got the strap. And of course I was really, really waiting for one of them to say, she calls it Daddy's Home. But no, she didn't use, she did use the strap, but it was very strange that stupid belt was like the mainstay of the match. They brought out a bag of pucks, which I appreciated as a Canadian. They did Simone drop on top of them, which looked nasty. I wish Zaya had tried to feed one of the pucks to Rosemary instead of, you know, just beat her over the head with them. Pucks get hard though, man. I don't know if you've ever interacted with a hockey puck out there, but oh, that shit gets, they tough. They're rubber. They are solid rubber. Now put them on ice and they're even harder. In the summertime, they get a little, you know, easier. They're malleable. But anyway, Zaya Brookside sets up the chairs. Rosemary rises up and spears Zaya through a door, which was set up at ringside, which is nice. And then Rosemary's miss gets blocked by a trash can that's being held by Brookside, who then hits a Brooksy bomb through the chairs, gets the win. A very, very fun Monsters Ball. I saw some people in the chat say, oh, there was no blood, so I didn't really, you know, I didn't enjoy it as much. I thought it was well done. I thought it was a really fun match. What did you think of Monsters Ball between these two?
I personally don't mind the no blood. Professional coward here. I will say this is another match I unfortunately was just sports in until about the second half. And then in the second half, are you familiar with the Powerpuff Girls, Joel?
Barely.
In one of the first couple of episodes, Bubbles, the blonde-haired girl, was brushing her hair all episode, and then they turned her hair into meat, and she turned up. That's exactly what happened here. Zaya came out with that belt. I was like, no, girl, please. Zaya. Zaya, darling. And then she turned up, and it was a nice turn up, but also, I personally feel this is just me. This is just me. Me, Cresta Star, the person myself. I've seen Rosemary pretty much come out of the fire lake of reincarnation. That was nothing. And I get it. She's trying to draw it out of Zaya. But I feel like Monster Ball was too soon and there was a better way to draw it out of her. We could have did that without having it be a Monster's Ball, because I feel like when you say Monster's Ball, there's a certain expectation of it to be a certain way. And this was a hardcore match with extra steps. And I think we could have did that. I think that's what we should have done instead, and then have it culminate at a hardcore match where they can both go full force. Because on my end, again, just me, it definitely felt like Rosemary was holding back, and we had the girl, when you tell your five-year-old you can't have no chocolate, and they're like, ooh, ooh. It's like, all right, little Timmy, you're going to beat me up? Okay. Oh, all right. That's how I felt, personally. Just me. It was a good match, but I could understand the expectation.
Yeah, and again, it was... They had to blow this off. This was the way to kind of do it. And also they had to move forward with the Xia Brookside is finding her inner baddie. And this is the way that they had to do it with Rosemary.
I don't hate it. I just wish that... I feel like sometimes TNA will stay on storylines that should go move forward, or they don't move forward fast enough. I worded that wrong. TLDR, I think this could have been dragged out a little bit more, and it could have culminated at a Monsters Ball and not tonight. This could have been something else. We could have got here without this and had this at a later time to really be a banger. Still give her the win, the same result, but I don't think it should have been a Monsters Ball. Just my two cents.
It did feel like they maybe rushed it a little bit, especially because she had just kind of, we talked about this last week. It was like she just found her edge, and then it was like, we're going to go to a Monsters Ball, and we were like, all
that's
right.
So fast. We skipped Halloween.
we just kind of went for it. But again, I don't know what their plan is for Xia. I know that a big 2025 was on the horizon. We're halfway through the year. It's like, how much more stock can we put into the Xia Brookside finding herself train? That you don't necessarily have all the time in the world to tell the Rosemary chapter of this story, when maybe the idea here is that, okay, she found her edge and then she beat the demon and now she's ready to go full bore into war. And then I say that and she's on the countdown against like the Elegant Scissors. So,
but even then, like, I think about, where does she pivot then? If you beat Rosemary, who's your challenger?
It's fair.
I'm sorry, the Doghouse division right now is kind of in shambles. Cue the rattling bones.
You got to hope that maybe she gets an opportunity to work with some of the NXT talent.
True. That could definitely work. Or eventually her and Indy Hartwell. Like, I used to be new. Heck you, pal.
Yeah, you can absolutely do something with Indy and Xia. Again, this is kind of the issue with having a fluid roster of knockouts. You do have a lot of people coming in. You have the NXT integration. So you're trying to kind of figure out where the pieces fit and where people plug in and where it can all work out. Xia hasn't really been factored into anything on the NXT side of things. She has experience working the WWE style because she did come from NXT UK. So she's been down that path. Wow. So it's possible that she doesn't actually interact with NXT and she just continues doing the TNA stuff. And she finds herself in a match against Masha Slamovich. And part of this whole finding her edge is that she can eventually become a credible challenger for Masha, because Masha keeps talking about wanting serious, qualified competition. And if Xia gets enough wins under her belt, she can then say, look at me. Does she win? That's another story. But if she can put up a fight and look credible, then you're building another star.
I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. Please continue. I don't want to put that into the universe.
I'd love to hear it, because it sounds awful.
It is awful. Okay, heck it. This is awful time with Crest the Star. Tessa takes it from Masha, but yeah, then you've got a built-in baby face with Xia. Give her the Cody treatment. But you have to have that edge to beat Tessa. Okay, personal feelings about Tessa aside, she's a fantastic wrestler. And that's the problem. She's a fantastic wrestler. So if Xia is going to be that person, you would have to have that edge, that demon edge that nobody else is going to be able to bring out of you. Because Tessa don't care if you good guy, bad guy, five guys, french fries. It's Tessa and five. I don't care. that's Tessa.
And again, there she's day to day. She'll probably show up tomorrow night at the show in Tempe and help Robert Stone. It's fine. The Tessa, it is what it is. Again, great wrestler, has a lot of other issues that need to be handled and discussed, but we're not talking about it because she's not on the show. If you have something like her winning the Knockouts title, fine. It's just, you're doing the same thing with Trick.
Yeah. You know,
where you're building Trick as like this guy that is too, or even Robert Stone actually talking about the whole authority angle. It's the same idea. Everyone wants him to get out of TNA. He's getting good heat out of it. So if you do it again with Tessa, I don't know if it's going to work the same way. I don't think the fans are really coming across being like, okay, we're fine with Tessa now. No, not at all. If anything, it's to go away heat. And if she won the title, I don't know if it would do the thing that maybe TNA would hope it would do in this case.
I guess I'm so jaded by wrestling. I feel like, and TNA is also guilty of this as well. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the fans think. If you guys have decided that this person is the person, you're going to force this person on us, down our throats, and there's nothing we can do about it. Because this person is the person that you guys decided is the person. And unless the fans are literally Becky, Becky, and even then, you're going to fight tooth and nail to not make it. So, if there's anything I learned about wrestling, once they decided that's the guy, you're a wrestling fan. You are stupid. You don't know what you want. You want this. You don't want that. You want this.
Can't confirm. Wrestling fans are the worst.
Honestly, truly, that's why I don't watch wrestling. Wrestling fans are awful.
Oh, the worst. Anyway, check out In the Weeds every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We're not even wrestling fans. We're just people who work in wrestling. That's all we are.
Listen, I've been told that I don't watch the show. I just talk about it. And they got me because I don't watch wrestling.
It's true. We just kind of throw darts at the board and hope something sticks. Anyway, the treehouse. They talk about brothers. They get high. And they make references to Randall from Monsters, Inc. and Randall from Recess.
Honestly, that's the third time I've heard a Randall from Recess joke this week. And that made me happy. That made me so happy.
It was cutesy. It was funny. It was just to, you know, get ready for the match against the Nemitz tomorrow night. And, of course, they toss in an Ese Rios and Lita comment, which makes me laugh. So, it's fine. Treehouse doesn't always hit. This was one of those times where I was kind of like, okay, felt a little shoehorned, but here we are.
I mean, there were a lot of video packages tonight, which I didn't mind, knowing that there's a pay-per-view tomorrow. And this was fine. This wasn't anything to be like...
Yeah, exactly. They replay the first class helping Trick retain his title on Tuesday over Santana. For those who were watching on Tuesday, Mike Santana did have a match against Trick Williams for the TNA title. It ended exactly how I told you all it would end, and that was with shenanigans. Santana's got beef with AJ, and they're going to eventually have that match. It's not going to happen against all odds because AJ is having him on the penthouse instead. So I'm guessing it'll happen at the tapings the next night, or they'll do a TV match. I don't know. Regardless, there's that. They had Elijah in the stands for the match. You definitely knew he was going to be involved somehow in the finish, and he was, because they broke his guitar. And then what was the other one? Oh, Trick was the one who broke Elijah's guitar. So there was that. And also you knew that Hendry was going to have a match with Frankie Kazarian. So you just kind of knew that the shtick was going to be where it was. And Santana didn't win, but I think he's still poised to go to Slammiversary.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, AJ Francis, you will pay for your crimes. Right when I was finally beginning to like, you go ahead and do this, go back to calling him Flop Dollar. Get him out of here.
I loved seeing Casey Navarro on NXT. That was really the high point.
Oh, you can. There are some people that are just so WWE coded. I feel that way about the Rascals and Casey Navarro. Oh, that man is WWE coded. Will they use him right? I don't know. But he would put on some bangers there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Casey had a tryout at WWE a few years ago before Vince McMahon basically forced his way back into the company, and then there was a hiring freeze. This was also famously the same one that stopped Naomi from showing up, and it stopped Jay White from potentially getting a deal with WWE. Casey was in active, had a tryout. Can't tell you if it was active talks or not, but regardless, he was, the eyes were on him. The opportunity was there, and he didn't get that shot because of all the shit with Vince coming back at the time. To see him get this opportunity, not only flourish out of what had happened and find his way through the indies and also through to TNA, where he's been doing incredible work, to get him that opportunity to work, to get something in NXT, to show up in NXT, to have something in NXT. And if he's going to now second Trick Williams along with Dalla, sorry, with AJ Francis, then you are in the right spot. And I'm really happy to see Casey get that.
My only one fear for Casey Navarro, one fear. Unfortunately for him, he's naturally funny. He's naturally funny, and you will outshine a lot of people around you. Because AJ Francis, to me, is naturally funny. He's naturally funny, but Casey Navarro, it just oozes off of him. And I would hate for someone like him, who is beyond talented in the ring, to get into a comedy act, and that's all he ends up being, is a comedy act. Because, like, yes, you can do comedy, absolutely. But that boy don't got no feet. They don't touch the ground. Him and gravity could do a mess. That boy is smooth. So that's the only my one fear. But besides that, even then, I'm sports entertained.
Folks, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are moving right along. We talked about Elijah and the song and everything. Again, very well shot segment. If you go out of your way to watch it, it is worth it. The Santino Marella promo. I saw it live, and I thought, this is the best Santino promo I've seen in a long time, because he ditched a lot of the shtick. He brought in some of it. He called him Rob Stoner and, like, had a couple of his, like, Santino-isms, but he stuck to being serious. Uh-huh. So for those who don't know, it's Santino versus Robert Stone tomorrow night. If Robert Stone wins, he's the new director of authority. If Santino wins, Robert Stone is gone. Santino is the director of authority. That's it. He gives a passionate promo about what wrestling has given to him and given to his family. And he says, like, I'm stepping down as director of authority, blah, blah, blah. And then out comes Stone with Victoria Crawford. And they effectively just call Santino a loser. He said he won't be allowed in TNA when I win. And then said it'll be the Sheriff Stone show. And this just was one of Santino's best promos, because he says, you know, the only way you're going to win is over my dead body. This, again, showed a level of seriousness that we haven't seen out of Santino. And it shows that he is capable of doing it when he needs to, and when he needs to walk away from being the comedy character. Now, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I know people hate Robert Stone. I would not hate Robert Stone stealing the victory and effectively writing off Santino for a few months, to when someone finally vanquishes Robert Stone and brings back Santino. And that could be someone, I don't know if it should be Ariana Grace, but because of the connection, the obvious one, it could be that Grace lost the fall to Stone, and she could get it back and effectively put Santino back in action.
And realistically speaking, WWE is not going to put on an intergender match. TNA would. I agree with you 100% on Santino playing this very straight man-like. And I love this, because I'm like, damn, like, it's one of those things that I feel like older wrestlers can do. Not every older wrestler, but some of them, Santino's included, where you're like, damn, okay, maybe he does need one more run. Yo, come back. I see why they had you where you were before. Come on back. I will say, the end of that promo fried me when he said, I'm going to destroy Stone's ass. I was like, Santino, please. And then Robert Stone came out looking violently orange. Bro, this man is a bad guy.
Saying his Tanner is running. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, that man, he looked like a shadow. He was so orange. Like, not even orange, he was like leather. That was some heel stuff. I thought about that too. I'm like, wow, Santino might really lose, because Robert Stone's going to do some shenanigans and trick having the TNA world title and Robert Stone being here. You're going to put TNA in a chokehold. It could work out. I've seen this storyline before. Sorry. And in the beginning, Honor No More was good. So I know you can do it. Okay. In the very beginning, Honor No More made sense. We were all pissed that you kept looking us over. And then it got real weird real fast. The system, as annoying as they are, everyone wants them to lose. So you could really do an invasion. Hell, you could even turn the system face doing it this way. NXT versus TNA. And the system's like, listen, we're bad guys. But not like those guys. Let's jump them. So...
I don't know if they'll go that far, but I do like the idea that they're gonna find their rally and eventually go after TNA. NXT becoming the bad guys in the TNA story is hilarious because it will get so many people being like, oh, big bad Fed and our TNA guys are going to win. There's a funny story there. It might actually do it. But I like where it's going. I think, as I mentioned, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And there's opportunity to give Santino a break, bring him back by Slammiversary, and have that big pop ready for him when he wins.
You know what I would like to see if I'm just fantasy booking? And I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if she's busy. But I would like to see Mickie James come back and do that for a hot second and be director of authority. I think that'd be hardcore country. I miss her. I think Mickie James would be real cute in this role. I do.
Yeah, who knows? Opportunities abound. Main events, Matt Hardy, Leon Slater, and Mike Santana defeat the Nemeths and Frankie Kazarian. I spent a lot of time at the TV tapings when they announced that there would be a six-man main event tag, trying to figure out who those six men were, knowing definitely the Nemeths, because they hadn't had a match yet on the tapings, definitely Matt Hardy, Leon Slater, for the same reasons. And I'm like, who are the other two on either side? Who's the other guy? And I realized, okay, it'll be Kazarian for sure. And then I was thinking it was either Elijah or Mike Santana. And I eventually locked in Santana to my friend, and then it all came out that way. This is all me spending a long time to say, this was a match that happened, and Santana wins for his team. Gets spin the block on Ryan Nemeth, gets the pin, and that's it. What you didn't see is then afterwards, Matt Hardy and Mike Santana did the rah-rah speeches saying thank you very much for a great night and a great weekend, and sent the crowd home happy. That's all this was. That's what the six-man was. They do this every time that they do a taping the night after a show. They do a main event, like six-man super match where the baby faces win and everyone goes home happy. Okay. What'd you think, if anything, about this match?
I was also sports during this match. My one note is that Leon Slater did that standing blue thunderbomb on Nick Nemeth. That's another boy who's a star. Leon Slater is so talented, he makes me sick. Another person who's a star, and I'm not to be the person like, oh, this person fumbled, but ooh, I know you're upset. Oh, Mike Santana. Man, that's a single star right there. And in my hardest of hearts, maybe not next year, maybe not the year after that, but within the next 3 years, he's going to main event at WrestleMania, or at least going to be there at WrestleMania. Mike Santana, boy, even from the clips I saw of him on NXT, I was like, Santana versus Obafemi, yes. Santana versus Damian Priest, the Bronx would explode. Yes. The Santana versus Grande Americano, because I've had it with you. Yes. Man, you could have had LAX and the Lucha Bros unite Delgado. I can't even say their names. Delgado de Fantasmo. You could have had them and LWO to beat up the Seth Riders. Man. And I say that to say, I too don't have a lot of notes about this.
Yeah, it was a match that happened, and Santana's great. That's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Santana and Slater really stepped up and showed out that match.
And yes, Chad, I did see that the Pacers beat the Thunder by 1 point. Tyrese Halliburton just had a hell of a game-winning shot in the last, like, second of the match.
Indiana is living the cursed dream for us. Because I remember Reggie Miller, the Knick Killer. And that's when I stopped watching basketball. And this man, Halliburton, every time I hear anything about him, he's murdering another team. So
Jeremy, who is my co-host over on In the Weeds, is a big OKC fan. So as a Thunder fan, and he's a big, big Thunder fan, we'll see if he wants to come to work tomorrow. He said he might show up.
You should text him. You should do a wellness check on him.
No. He's got a family. He'll be fine. Let everyone else check on him. He knows. He knows I think about him when he'll be fine. It's sports. I'm sorry, y'all. It's sports. It doesn't affect me the same way that it affects him, but he'll either be in the weeds or he won't tomorrow. That's just the way it is. Either it's going to be me and SB3, or it's going to be me, Jeremy, and then SB3 comes around when Jeremy has has a moment and decides to go. Against all odds is tomorrow night. No, we're not doing a post show because the show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, and nope, just not happening. Just not happening. But we'll run down the card. How about that?
Let's do it.
The Countdown has the Elegance brand, all three of them, taking on Xia Brookside, Mila Grace, and Harley Hudson. Who's going to win this match?
I say Elegant Shenanigans, and Elegant is win.
I think that Mila Grace and Mila Grace, Mila and Harley, I think, will get the win. And Zaya will be there as well. But I think that they'll pin the tag champion, and that'll facilitate a tag team title match down the line.
Okay, I see that. Okay, work. Yeah, because they are the new Franken team. Yeah. Oh, this is about time for the cycle.
They showed you during the Spitfire match. They were like, here's Mila Grace and Harley Hudson. I'm like, oh, here's the team that's going to replace Spitfire. That's great.
Nah, you're right.
It was so hokey. Mustafa Ali versus Jason Hotch. This feels like an Ali win, but it also feels like an opportunity for Hotch to stand out and show up.
Yeah, Ali's going to try to demoralize him, and you just got to fight. Cut his hair if you have to.
TNA International Championship, Steve Maclin and Mance Warner. We didn't talk about the segment earlier, but it is Mance Warner just basically saying, I'm going to win. But it was good stuff. This is, again, a very good opportunity, a character match for Maclin with a character wrestler like Mance Warner. I hope that this is not a one and done between them, but overall, I'm expecting a lot of fun out of these two. What do you think?
I want this to be a one and done between them because I know it's going to be blood.
It might not be because, again, the edict is like, use it sparingly. And this is
Mance Warner. Maclin, yeah. I could be like, all right. Maclin's like, all right, I don't got to. But Mance, Maclin's
more likely because he just hard ways. he just does.
Why would you say I could think about his Dax Harbor going, yeah, that's my kind of guy. I think Maclin wins here. Maclin right now is the pride and soul of TNA since our title got absconded by that trick feller.
Yeah, it'll be Maclin. But I'm looking forward to a really, really solid match between these two. Penthouse, First Class, Santana. Do they turn this into a match, or do they just have a beatdown of somebody?
I think they just had a beatdown, but I don't know.
Yeah, it just kind of exists on its own little plane. But I don't know. Again, there's a story here between Santana and AJ Francis. He's ducking him. He's ducking Santana. They need to have that.
AJ Francis is about to get beat up real bad. Eventually. Oh, real yeah. bad.
It's coming. TNA World Tag Team titles, the Nemeths versus the Rascals. I would be surprised if the Nemeths lose here. I think we're going back to doing the return, the Hardys and Nemeths. I thought this was going to be the ladder match that everyone was talking about, but they might save that for Slammiversary after all.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Make it a three-way between the Hardys. I almost said Spitfire. Jesus. Hardys, the Rascals. Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
Teaming up one more time. And the Nemeths, I wouldn't mind that at Slammiversary. It's already looking from the outside like it's going to be a stacked card. Let's already just add a little extra cheese on top. You know what I mean?
I think you can get a couple of NXT tag teams and have them play and make it a four-way. Do the Nemeths, the Hardys, and then two NXT.
What about Wesley's group? It's not called Downstate or Dark High State
Rise.
Or
No, High Rise. That's what they're called. Dark State is a different group. That's the four guys that wear the masks.
Well, I also don't watch NXT, so well, yeah. You could do Wesley's group. I'm sure there's other tag teams. What about those No Quarter Catch fellows?
Well, one of them just left the crew this past
Tuesday. There's like three of them. You just need two of them.
I think it's more likely you're going to see someone like OTM. And maybe if they do Hank and Tank, then you can put both tag titles up. I don't know. There again, I think you'll find two other tag teams in NXT that fit this ladder match motif. And you could do a four-way for the tag titles.
I like that name, Hank and Tank. Easy.
Well, you're one of them. Santino Marella goes up against Robert Stone for the Director of Authority position. I feel like Santino loses this one to Robert Stone via shenanigans.
Oh, I absolutely see it. Victoria Crawford is eager to cheat. I hate that for me. My heart doesn't want that, but I think storytelling-wise, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, exactly. And let him run roughshod, make life hell. This is basically the Ali story for Santana that we pitched, but now they're doing it with Stone instead, and it's much worse.
It's because you're affecting everybody unless you kiss the ring, and you already know like people like Tessa Kazarian, maybe the system at first, and then you're gonna try to do something to the system. The system's gonna be like, "We run this, not you, Orange Man, not you, pal."
He's another orange man ruining everything. Joe Hendry takes on Frankie Kazarian. This is a match where I assume Joe Hendry, you know what? I'd love to see Hendry lose just so we can play the downfall of Hendry to rebuild him back up and everyone gets all excited and they believe. But I feel like Hendry's just going to beat Frankie Kazarian.
I feel like Frankie Kazarian does win here, unless there's some shenanigans. But even then, it doesn't make sense to do shenanigans for Joe Hendry here because he doesn't have the belt. I would like to see Joe Hendry become a heel. I would. I would like to see him getting, because I enjoyed the songs. But he was doing the songs before as, now I want to see with malicious intent. Those songs. I want malicious intent. I live chaos.
Masha Slamovich takes on Ling Lee for the Knockouts title. This feels like Masha will win, but it's a standout showcase match for Ling Lee, who we've talked about, you know, eventually getting that opportunity. And this is clearly that opportunity.
No, absolutely. Especially after the video package. Girl, these are going to be two meaty women doing women's wrongs. And I support women's wrestling.
And Ling Lee also had a credible kickboxing match recently where she won. It was her MMA or her kickboxing debut. Regardless, she knows how to beat the shit out of someone, and I'm expecting that.
People get mad when I say that the Knockouts division in TNA has consistently been the best women's division North American. Listen, I don't care. Are you with your mama? Okay.
I forgot that Xia Li also, when she was Xia Li, knocked out two different women accidentally when she was on the roster. I feel like one was Raquel Rodriguez and I forget who the other one was, but I'm pretty sure she like legitimately knocked out two women.
Literally, I don't know my own strength.
Xia Li knockout NXT. That's oh, crazy. Mercedes Martinez.
Mercedes Martinez is Raquel.
No. Mercedes Martinez. She's a badass.
You know, I know who you're talking about. So I have to think about it. She was in ROH for a hot. Is she still in ROH?
She's technically still under contract. She's at least on PPA. But yeah, she rocked her. That's right.
Damn.
Yeah, she did that, and then she did one to Raquel. I remember this just two times. Like, oh shit, she did it. Someone asked me to see R-Truth and TNA. Yes, Slammiversary is when I see him making an appearance. Oh, former NWA World Champion.
I'm not going to hold you. I have two thoughts in my mind, and they work for either AEW or TNA. Sign R-Truth and have R-Truth start calling people WWE names.
I mean, you don't even know. Truth, when he was in TNA, like when he was Ron Killings, was a serious dude. He wasn't the comedy actor. Bring him back as Ron Killings and make people relive that time when he was Ron the Truth Killings. He was a badass.
I've never seen it. I'm gonna err on the side of caution because while I think he can still go, yeah, because he's in a fantastic shape. I just love this confused uncle. It's quite funny. And I feel like sometimes people are like, we want this thing, we want this thing, and kind of like lore accurate Wolverine. You don't want to see that. You think you want to see it. Or am I doing the wrestling thing? You think you want this, but you want this.
I'd rather see Ron the Truth Killings and not R-Truth. I don't need to see another guy. No, I don't want to see another dude just like show up and rap his way down the aisle. We had Joe Hendry. We have Elijah. We have enough of this. I don't need more of it.
Listen, only one of them is doing it successfully, and I'll let you decide which one it is.
I don't give a shit which one does it. I don't want either of them to do right now. I just want R-Truth to show up as Ron Killings and beat the shit out of people. Santana wins the belt at Slammiversary and then drops it to Ron the Truth Killings at Bound for Glory. That's the reason.
That's hilarious. And then when he beats him, he goes, what's up?
TNA World Championship, Trick Williams and Elijah.
Oh, man, I hate to say it, but Tricky Williams, talk about it. Let's talk about it.
By the way, shout out to Elijah saying, let's talk about it and actually talking about it.
But also, that spoken word thing, I was like, man.
Nope, no slander. It was fantastic.
Oh, but you could slander my bard, but I can't slander your bard. That's ridiculous, Joel.
Yeah, because my guy doesn't have a concert every time he goes out to the ring.
He can't. There's a difference. He can't.
And neither can the other guy, but he decides that he wants to. There's a time for concerts and there's a time for... Sorry, I'm done. I'm going to stop.
If it's funny, God damn it, it's funny. I'm not here for no 30-minute classic. I'm here for jokes.
Think about funny. Is that supposed to make people laugh? Anyway, we're not here tomorrow to cover Against All Odds because the show starts late. But tell you what, we'll talk to you all about it on Thursday next week when we're back here again talking TNA. Cresta, what else you got going on?
I'm fairly sure there is no Collision post show tomorrow.
There's no Collision.
Yeah, because we were subjected to 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. There's no Collision this week and there's no Collision next week.
So I don't got that going on. But what I do have going on is social media, Cresta Star, anywhere you can type that on the internet, except for Twitter, where it is Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. I got YouTube, I got Instagram, I got Twitch, I stream video games, I yap, we talk about wrestling. I'm here every Thursday with Joel Pearl, talk about wrestling, TNA, one of my favorite shows, no TNA slander. And then on Saturday, myself, Rick and Iridian, sometimes Sean Ross Sapp, we go over all things AEW Collision. I'm out of things to say. You guys have been fantastic. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Your butt looks nice. And this is my sign off for this show because the one for mine is worse. Joel, where can the people find you? What you got going on?
Over on our sister channel, it's Fightful Overbooked. Go check it out, subscribe, and of course, come and watch the shows. I go in the weeds. It's Monday through Friday is the show, but I'm on the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Jeremy Lambert is there 5 days a week. Hopefully tomorrow he's there, even though he'll be sad. SB3 is also there as well, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And of course, when I decide I want to take a day off, he will graciously appear, kind of like Joe Hendry, but SB3 is better. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is you can come and you can join us and come watch the show 10 a.m. Eastern till about noon, sometimes 12:30. I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We got a lot to talk about, I guess, with Money in the Bank being this weekend and Worlds Collide. We get to talk about Pat McAfee's favorite wrestler, Mr. Iguana, because I know that Pat McAfee is a huge Triple A fan, according to himself, even though he's never talked about Triple A. It's just whatever. Anyway, we're here every Thursday night talking about TNA. It's what we do. And we'll talk about Against All Odds next Thursday when it's already going to be over 2 weeks old. So for Cresta Star, you know who I am, you know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friend, be on the button. I messed it up. Curry, rewind that. Let's go again. You know who she is. You know who I am. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.